Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Working hard is worth it if you're seeing results. And when it comes to working out, the same thing is true. You want the maximum benefit in the time you have, and that's exactly what Tonal is built for. And with their latest iteration, Tonal 2, you can ensure your workout is more tailored and effective than ever. Tonal's at-home strength training system uses adaptive weight to learn from your movement and set the optimal weight for every move, adjusting in one-pound increments up to 250 pounds, challenging even the most advanced users to push their limits. You can also experience a full body burn with the new Aero HIIT workouts, the perfect blend of heart-pumping cardio and strength. Plus, the new built-in Smart View leverages a high-resolution camera that lets you see yourself during your workout, analyzes your movement, and provides real-time coaching, just like a personal trainer. Right now, Tonal is offering our listeners $200 off your Tonal purchase with promo code 200TONAL. That's Tonal.com and use promo code 200TONAL for $200 off your purchase. That's Tonal.com. Promo code 200TONAL for $200 off.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how you doing?
Very well, Ken. Very well. Looking forward to preseason action kicking off tonight as we record on Thursday afternoon. And obviously, the Ravens getting out on the field for some competitive action shortly.
Yeah, competitive action next week. Pads today. So it's a couple times last week. So it's been fairly competitive at practice. We've been good to see for the most part. There's been a slight uptick in some of the injury activity over the course week of the last week. In the last 2 days, the Ravens have gotten back a number of players, not so much the long-term guys, but a bunch of the short-term injuries we want to talk about. So one big move today, I wouldn't call it a big move, but it's kind of one in a position of interest, is the defensive line. The Ravens waived Rashad Nichols with an injury settlement that opens up a spot for certain at the top of the practice squad at the worst. I think the big five on the defensive line are extremely safe after that kind of a cut.
Completely agree there. Nichols was a player that was earmarked as a sort of a borderline 53/ top of the P squad type of player. Just took, I guess, for the last two years, really. But just didn't pan out, and that's what happens. But the Ravens are probably going to fill that roster spot with another intriguing young D lineman and develop him and see where it goes.
Yeah, right now they have some intriguing old defensive linemen, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. A couple of veteran nose tackles and Josh Tupou and Deidre Sinat. Tupou played for the Bengals, and the highlight of his career was taking Lamar Jackson down in the open field once.
Yes. Sinat was a player I was intrigued by coming into the draft a few years ago. Looked like he had a little bit of a penetrating style. So maybe the Ravens can find a way to unleash that, and he can be a capable fill-in if injury occurs in season.
Definitely four guys there, including C.J. Ravenall and Tremell Walthor, who we'll really be looking at in the preseason. We should get a lot of second-half action from those guys. Those guys have an opportunity, I think, to dominate in the second half versus some of the players that they'll be facing. Ravenel, by the way, at practice had two sacks today on consecutive plays. Yeah, so that looked pretty good.
Sure.
We'll see how that plays out. Bad news in the last few days. You probably heard it if you're out there. Malik Ham moved to IR. Does not mean 100% that he cannot return this season, because he can be, I believe, put on the extended roster to start the season and return via the IR-DTR process. It may even be possible for him to come back before then.
My understanding is his season is done, because you have to be on the initial 53 and then placed on IR. At least that's what I saw from, I believe, Brian McFarland reiterated that his season is done.
That is certainly my expectation. So that it's a very, very disappointing year. And it obviously means the clock will continue to run on Malik Ham. Spending this year on IR means he'll be 2 years out of the hourglass in terms of sand. That's not good. You know, we mentioned a player like Rashad Nichols, who's still in his first year, despite the fact that he's been with the Ravens for a couple of years on the practice squad. And he may have been activated for a game. I'm trying to remember, but I don't actually remember if he did. But in any case, a guy who has a fair amount of experience. Even those years, they count against you in a certain sense because you're getting older and they're losing years of growth on that player. In terms of Ham, though, losing 2 years to injuries, we've seen this movie before. We've seen it with who was the Dan Cody, you know, a really highly thought of player. We've seen it with Marshall a few years ago, defensive back.
Iman Marshall,
exactly,
from USC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've seen a few players who just have had a lot of trouble getting on the field for 2 years, and it usually is not a good thing. But hopefully, Malik had shown some, by the way, some very positive things in camp this year, in my opinion. It looked like could be a legitimate outside linebacker who could play that Sam role.
Completely agree there. Very disappointing news. I had earmarked Malik Ham as my sleeper to potentially make the 53. And I certainly agree, when you miss your first 2 years of Pro Bowl, the injury list, injured, it's very hard to sort of reclaim and navigate through that and carve out a career. We see it time and time again. From a positional standpoint, they still leave the Ravens a little bit thin now at outside backer, with Adisa Isaac still on the NFI list. Depending on where Malik Harrison is lining up for the majority of his steps, you're really down to maybe four outside backers at the moment. And that's one of the positions that benefits the most from a heavy rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need four for sure at the minimum. And I wouldn't want to have Harrison count towards that four. I'd want him to be the fifth. Now, they do have five, because Tavius Robinson is the fourth guy. He's played pretty well in camp. I think the big three, Ajabo, Owe, and Vannoy, have all been playing well. Yeah. So,
yeah, it does seem that Robinson flashed some, starting to flash some pass rush potential this last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. They did sign Quincy Roche, who is a Randallstown native. 26 years old, second-year player out of Miami. He's played 14 games in 2021, had 2.5 sacks, did not get an accrued season in either 22 or 23, although he did get in a few games with the Giants in 22. Yeah. But I think they're continuing to look at options. And John Harbaugh said just as much today in the interviews that they, like at every position, they'll continue to look at options. But I would be really surprised if Quincy Roche is someone they go into the season with.
Yes, I mean, he spent the entire 23 season on the Vikings practice squad. So to go from the Vikings practice squad to now the Ravens active roster will be quite the jump, considering how their defense looked last year. Camp body, I mean, a capable vet, does have 17 games of NFL experience. But the more we evolve into projecting the regular season roster, it does seem that outside backer may be the place that DaCosta looks to bolster, either now or potentially at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Could certainly be, and could even be after the season begins, honestly. He's been successful doing that, certainly with Vannoy last year. Players become incented to drop into your price range at that point. It also, you have the advantage, if you sign somebody in week two, that you typically do not guarantee their salary for the whole year. You just pay them on effectively a week-to-week basis. So if you decide you have to cut that player later, you get a benefit from that. So lots of reasons why it makes sense for the Ravens to be very, very patient in terms of finding that player.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, let's talk about a few things that have been happening at training camp and how they affect the roster in a way. One of the interesting players at camp to me has been Kadir Ismail. He's moved to tight end now on the roster sheet, which is a big move that happened this week. Looks like Darren Waller. He's 6'6", 232. He's a big vertical athlete, wide receiver kind of frame, a little bit bigger than that. Has really been playing mostly as a tight end in camp, but definitely has shown some blocking chops, including a nice block to the ground of David Ajabo today, which was probably the highlight of the entire practice, I would say.
Wow, excellent. Yes, I caught your breakdown of Ismail, obviously Quadri's son, on one of the camp notes that you put out earlier this week, and I'm very intrigued by his skill set and his potential. A practice squad player, most likely, but somebody that the Ravens can cultivate and groom to take over as one of their receiving type tight ends, you know, down the road a little bit here as Mark gets a little bit older and likely approaches free agency.
I would say, based on what I'm seeing right now, and this will have to be borne out in some preseason games, some live fire, I'd say Kadir is clearly the top of the Ravens practice squad guy, but he may also be a guy like Travis Vokolek. They don't have a really good chance to keep for the entire season if they have all their tight ends healthy and try and keep them on the practice squad. I think he's a player as tight end quality degrades with injuries that occur naturally over the course of a season, the replacement level drops. He's a player that I think other teams will be aware of and try and pick.
Maybe a player to limit his reps in the preseason to sort of hide him a little bit, but we'll see.
An interesting idea. It's also a big risk too if you do that. Several players returned to practice on either Wednesday or Thursday. I actually had a doctor's appointment yesterday, so I missed practice for what that's worth. But Evandy Rigby had missed every single practice before yesterday. He returned either today or yesterday, not sure which, for his first practice. Joe Evans, a guy who had a big career at Iowa, but has extremely short arms as a pass rusher. He's actually fifth, I think, in Big Ten history in sacks, which is remarkable in terms of some of the players. He's ahead of Joey Bosa, for example, Nick Bosa, I should say. But anyway, he was back at practice. Rashad Bateman had been out for a few days with an injury of soft tissue injury of some sort, but he was back. And Tez Walker, who has been beaten up by a couple of different defensive backs this year, not in a competitive way, just in a cheap way, I think a couple times he's been really beat on, but they had a defensive back roll over him the other day, got up very slowly. And it wasn't surprising that he missed at least a practice for that. And he got hit hard twice by Christian Matthew, who was just basically out playing to the football. Christian Matthew pulled on his helmet once and the ball came free, but it's not a place you hit somebody in a non-contact practice.
Sure. Especially when you're the last corner on the depth chart.
Yes. You are very replaceable. we're still waiting on news on a couple of players. You mentioned one of them earlier was Adisa Isaac, who is one of the really key players. Now, if he'd be the fifth outside linebacker, I think the Ravens would be set in terms of what they do. Wouldn't surprise me if he is somehow on a starting the year on IR after the roster is determined and then, or is used, takes up one of those two spots that they can then return later. So he'd be a guy who could return. Still on NFI, still talking about a nagging hamstring injury, and that's what Harbaugh mentioned. I don't think he actually said hamstring, but it's not nagging soft tissue almost always means that.
I think I heard him say hamstring last week. So if I recall, yeah, that makes a lot of sense for a player like that, a rookie. You bring in some fresh legs, an outside backer halfway through the season potentially, and you use one of their spots or a handshake deal to get him through onto the week one and then put him on IR and then bring him back when the time is right. Fresh legs, an outside backer halfway through the season would be certainly valuable.
Yep. They have looked to do that kind of thing in the past. Could be a vet who replaces him in that spot, of course. Trayvon Mullen had been playing some great ball in camp earlier, had a couple interceptions in the Big 7 pick day. Most of that was against the backup quarterbacks, but he snatched a couple balls out of the air, displayed real ball skills. He's got some actual experience in terms of playing time with the Raiders, I believe. He's done some things and he fell on his shoulder, did not look good, have not heard any details about the injury at all at this point, but he has not yet returned.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Trayvon to crack the roster either way. Just the Ravens are so deep at corner this year. But player I'd like them to keep in the organization if they can. And he could be that, you know, depth, maybe another midseason IR stash where he can come back halfway through the season. I think that would make a lot of sense at corner.
Yeah, you get two free ones, and then the Ravens will be in position to get a couple extra ones done if they want to cut Brent Urban and bring him back. Or, there's other players on the team who that would work for as well. Can't be anybody who has a lot of guaranteed money in their contract.
Right.
That's the thing you're looking for if you want to know who's a handshake agreement candidate.
Well, interestingly, if I can interject just real quick, they gave guaranteed money to Harty and also to Board, which both were a little bit surprising to me. So that makes it a little bit more difficult to make the numbers work there.
Right. Those guys are not candidates for it. So if I'm looking down my roster sheet, I'm trying to think of by position, who's a guy who might make sense for it. You don't really have anybody at cornerback. I guess Tylan Wallace is signed already. Not sure about the offensive line.
I don't recall if Josh Johnson had much guaranteed or not. That's the one I don't quite remember.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be a possibility. And I know there was a fair amount of guaranteed money on Eddie Jackson's contract, though it's not too much above the vet minimum. It's got some guaranteed money, so he's not a candidate. Darryl Worley would still be around, so you could still do it for him.
That's a good one, for sure. Yeah.
All right. So what do we also want? TJ Tampa, still on PUP. You have to kind of balance your understanding of what Harbaugh is trying to do with this. And when you hear him talking about TJ Tampa and expecting to get him back, I think some of that is going out there as a motivation for the player. Some of it may be stick, some of it may be carrot, in terms of what he believes about how that player ought to be beating his injury or getting back and getting on the field. But I think that he is expecting sometime before the end of the season that Tampa will be back. And he's on PUP now for a reason, because it gives them the flexibility. If he still's not back by the time the season starts, he can wait at least, I think it's 4 weeks, and then start practicing again and have a ramp up period. The Ravens love to manage those midseason reinforcements, so he'd be a good one to have. And honestly, he's a guy who needs to get on the field in 23. Yes. It's really sad that in 24. It's really sad that he's missing the preseason.
Yes, I'd like to see him on the field sooner rather than later. Certainly, certainly going to play into the Ravens' long-term plans at defensive back one way or another. And just to your point, good management and good coaching is a combination of carrot and stick, for sure.
Yeah. We're halfway through camp. And we kind of don't know, didn't have an exact idea of how to present this material, but we're kind of going to go through the position groups. I don't like doing locks and who's, on the bubble and who's maybe, I just kind of think there's a few players that we want to talk about as we go through these position groups who might somehow fit into the discussion at the position group or that don't fit into the discussion and really, will be gone at some point, whether that's on cutdown day or before then, if the Ravens, go out and sign somebody else. But let's start with the QB position, since that's an interesting one. One of the things we kind of hoped before the season started is that Devin Leary would provide a meaningful challenge for Josh Johnson as the second string QB. I would say that has not really happened in camp so far. It's certainly not in terms of reps. I would say in terms of just how well he's throwing the ball, Johnson is well ahead of Leary right now.
Interesting. It's hard to glean what exactly is transpiring from the reports, because you see, multiple interceptions from Johnson, multiple interceptions from Leary on pretty much a daily basis. So it's interesting to hear that has Emory Jones showed any signs of life? He was a player when he was with the Florida Gators, was considered a toolsy type of quarterback, or is he pretty much cannon fodder?
He's having a hard time getting any reps right now because he's the bottom of the depth chart. And so he's the guy who, they basically put in right at the last second, then you hear the whistle blow and it comes off sometimes before getting his rep, sometimes after getting one rep, kind of thing. And the practice is divided into segments, and your first, second, and third quarterback all go once each. Sometimes the third quarterback doesn't even go, but the fourth quarterback, rarely gets a really good chance. So he's a camp arm. A guy who will probably see some time at the end of the preseason game. I would think we'll see Johnson get a fair amount of playing time, just get him prepared for the season. I think that Leary will get some time to see what he has, and I think Emory Jones will get whatever time is left over in this preseason. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But the other guy who...
Go ahead, let me
keep it there at quarterback for you, because the other guy we haven't really talked about is Malik Cunningham. And Malik Cunningham is having a great camp, I would say, as a wide receiver. He's one of three kind of camp darlings at wide receiver that we'll get to when we get to that position. But I think if you want to try to keep him as a wide receiver / quarterback, you could do that too. Now, having the free quarterback as your third quarterback in the game is a benefit that you would drop then with Cunningham, because you'd want him to play special teams and you want him to be a wide receiver perhaps.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? But essentially it becomes a 54 with the third quarterback, the rule change they made this offseason. Has he taken many reps at quarterback? Is it most okay?
No, I haven't seen him in there. I could have missed something, but I have not seen him in for a single snap at quarterback. I think they've talked about it, so I don't think I'm giving anything away that they said, yeah, you know, he's going to exclusively focus on being a wide receiver. And he's actually, I'd say he's gotten a fairly mixed set of reps in terms of the quarterbacks, which is really good because especially recently they had three major outs with Walker, Bateman, and Flowers was out for a wedding. You know, mm-hmm. they had all those guys out on one day. So Malik Cunningham got elevated to play some time with the ones. Which is really a big advantage. Player Tez Walker also got an advantage from it too, because he hasn't gotten a lot of time, not nearly as much as I would have liked with the one so far this summer.
That's the best way to evaluate one, you know, best against best. So very good. Let's move on to running back. Obviously, Ali, the fifth round pick, I believe.
Yeah,
fifth, right? Seems to be in somewhat of a competition with Owen Wright, who apparently has been having a better showing this training camp than the previous training camp. Any thoughts on who may have the lead there? Could Wright push the rookie off the roster?
I don't think it's likely, but I think Wright is destined to be a top of the practice squad running back again. I don't think the Ravens are in a lot of danger of losing him, but I do think Owen Wright is a guy who might see playing time with the Baltimore Ravens this year. There's injuries. Running backs get dinged up in these games. And when that happens, you have practice squad elevations. And I think Owen Wright is a guy who has looked really good as a pass blocker, I thought. Certainly on some individual reps this year, and might very well be a guy you'd want in there. He's looked quick to the edge. I'd say he's looked pretty quick to the hole, and he's looked decent as a receiver. And I'm trying to think if it was him or Ali. One of the two of them fumbled today. And if you go back now, it's a show backwards, so look at my camp notes from Thursday, you'll be able to know probably by the time you listen to this that it was either Ali or Wright who had that fumble today. But I think he's played well.
I know Ali had significant ball security issues coming out of school. So,
yes,
that could maybe be open the door for Wright to sneak in there. And then, there's a lot of undrafted rookies that are probably, you know, facing the wrong side of the bubble. Collier seems to be maybe one of them.
Yeah, that's how I would see it. A very small school guy who had incredible stats there. It's good to see the Ravens get a guy from a small school, give him a chance, and bring him to camp. I don't think he's shown enough, probably even to be on the practice squad, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they like him more than I have seen. I will say I think that you're exactly right, and we're enough beyond the COVID bubble that we should see the Ravens be able to pick some more guys that are R or one trash heap guys they like better than other teams do. And there are stylistic fits. And you know, going through this period from 20 to 22, where they got all of these veteran backs to come in who really did not make it happen. Mm-hmm. It'd be a pleasant relief for that to happen.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, undrafted rookie or fourth, fifth, sixth running backs may not be exciting, but if one of the main positions where players can sort of come out of nowhere and emerge and become capable high-end contributors in the league, along with probably linebacker, maybe interior offensive line and nose tackles. But yeah, running backs right up there. Let's slide out now to wide receiver, a position where I am intrigued by how this depth chart is going to eventually form. I think you have to carry six, even if you're going to be a heavy 12 personnel team. Mm-hmm. You need six for injury insurance. Obviously, we've seen multiple guys get dinged up this week. Receivers get injured. DaCosta made the race car reference in this offseason. That being said, Harty, I believe, is still not practicing unless he returned today.
Wasn't there today.
So I believe that's a third straight that he has missed. Tylan Wallace is a player entering his fourth season who's shown very little as far as receiving. He obviously had that beautiful, great play in the Rams game to win the game last year. Three darlings that you've identified, Wade, Cunningham, and Sean Ryan, do they have a chance to steal that sixth spot? And how would you put the pecking order?
So let's see. So I guess Harty could lose his spot probably only temporarily if he starts the year on IR or something, or is a, you know, designated effectively as a midseason replacement. I believe he's got some guaranteed money in his contract, although I'm not looking at it right now.
Yes, he does. So, about $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they right there, that tells you they're not cutting Deontay Hardy. They need to try and realize that value. If you're looking at the other guys though, Wallace is in year four, and so the sand is out of the hourglass. They own no future stake in Tylan Wallace's career. So one thing I would say, easiest article to write of the entire offseason, is who might get cut based on the year four or year three status. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it really starts, you know, I'd say in year three, it becomes a more significant issue. But Wallace has been a very fine special teams player. I've seen a fair amount from him as a wide receiver. I think as much probably as I've seen from the other three in this camp. But Cunningham, they have thrown the ball to him a lot. Dayton Wade has gotten a fair number of targets and looked pretty darn good on them. And Sean Ryan, they've liked both years. So I think they liked him last year. And they, he's a tall drink of water, as Chuck Thompson would say, in terms of being a guy who has the length to go up and contest catch as well. And he's got some speed and ability to box out. I think that's a little more than a normal wide receiver. Not the speed part, the box out part. But anyway, I'm positive about all three of those guys, and whoever plays well in the preseason will probably become a darling of all of Twitter and whatnot. The truth of the matter is all of these guys are probably fighting for.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maybe two wide receiver practice squad spots that they might use. And two seems about right, with 15 guys on the practice squad?
At least two, maybe even three.
Okay, so they could all make it. And maybe you look at Cunningham and you say he's more than just a wide receiver. We can still use him at quarterback once we thin our roster out a little bit and decide what we have here. So anyway, it's certainly possible. The guys who I think are really on the outside looking in right now are Isaiah Washington and Keith Kirkwood, and of course Ishmael moved to tight end officially this week in terms of the sheet. Anyway,
yeah, if Hardy can get back healthy, I would probably prefer keeping one of the younger guys over Wallace. If he cannot, I think you probably need Wallace to be your return man for kickoffs. But just looking down the road, you need some more guys in the pipeline. So that's where that fourth year, and that sand on the hourglass you always speak to comes into play.
Yeah, they are highly incented, clearly, to keep a year one player over a year four player if they don't have very compelling evidence otherwise.
Mm-hmm. For sure. tight end. Obviously, maybe the best group of tight ends in the NFL, at least the top two at the depth chart. Seems like Isaiah Likely is playing a little bit of X and trying to expand his route tree this preseason, which is interesting. Now with Ishmael going to tight end as well, Charlie Kolar, could he be a potential bubble player, even though my co-host on my other podcast, Yuri, is one of his favorite players, but I'll bring it up anyway.
Sure. It's not impossible, I guess. He's in year three, and you got to respect what that means. On the other hand, he's a tight end who can block a little bit and is more, I think, okay, I can block a little, but it's probably prematurely giving him credit for what he's done in the NFL so far. But he projects to be a blocker, not of the Ricard level, but probably ahead of Likely and maybe as good as Andrews if the team is lucky. And I don't think, as much as I appreciated Kadir's pancaking of Ajabo today, I don't think I would say that he's going to be the same force as a blocker as I would expect Kolar to be. So could it be? Yeah, it's possible. You'd have to really believe in Kadir and believe that he's going to give the Ravens so much as a receiver and is, you know, it resets the clock. One of the things that's bad about the Ravens tight end group is all three of them are signed through exactly 2025. It would be nice to stagger that a little bit and have some, you know, have some textured options about who you make decisions on, because when they all come due at the same time, then it just doesn't leave you all the snaps you need to evaluate.
Yes, definitely. So we'll see. Riley Sharp or Scotty Washington, is anybody worth giving a little extra eyeballs to preseason wise?
I mean, it's always worth looking at players in preseason and see if they are provide something special once the pads go on, once it's live fire, once it's a real opponent. So we'll see. But I would say all of them have had difficulties to some degree in terms of reaching back for the football. Mm-hmm. And they've had a lot of opportunities to reach back for the football, unfortunately, in this camp, because the backup quarterback play has been so bad that, you know, a lot of balls have been behind receivers and they've had some, you know, some opportunities for that. Scotty Washington may have shown the most as a receiver of the three, but I'm not in a position right now to say anyone. If I had to say, I'd say probably though Reigerman and Sharp are behind Washington, but all three are very remote in terms of their probability of making the team.
Fair enough. I think my preference would probably be for maybe the better blocker to headline the P squad at this point, because they already have so many good receivers. Not discussing Ishmael. Offensive line, and I think it's probably fair to report that Roger Rosengarten has been seeing some reps with the ones, considering I've seen multiple other outlets report on that this afternoon. So that seems promising, certainly. As far as who's going to make the team, who's not going to make the team, how is Big Saleh looking so far this August?
I think his stock is way down. He's not a guy I expect to make the team. You know, they've only got 10 spots. Could Saleh make the practice squad? Sure. Does Saleh have a body type that somebody else may say, let's give this guy a shot? Baltimore did. Maybe. You know, maybe. So maybe he has to be traded. He can't really be cut and put on the practice squad. I haven't really seen him succeed in some way that would make me think, yeah, he's got to be in the consideration for the backup guard spot. And by the way, they've been largely healthy, but they've had a lot of problems in terms of the guard spot, in terms of any sort of consistency there outside of Voorhees. Voorhees has looked very good, but I'd say that Josh Jones has had a lot of penalties, and that's the albatross he bears to this town is his very high penalty rate. And if he's not going to solve that, Ravens just been through this with John Simpson. They'll keep Jones around as a backup lineman. He won't lose his spot, but he's not really in consideration for any starting role at this point.
Fair enough. And it appears that Ben Cleveland had a missed second half of practice. John Harbaugh said he was being evaluated for a potential concussion. Yep. And it's been a hot couple weeks here in the Baltimore County area, I will say that. So some of these bigger guys, Cleveland and Faalele, really testing their conditioning at this point.
Yeah, Faalele, I mean, I think he's a fairly well-conditioned athlete. I think he's been better, but you know, he's been getting a lot of reps on the offensive line. I won't say where, but I want to be extra careful with this. There's at this point, so many people have said exactly where, so many fans have been there and seen exactly where he's playing, seen exactly who he's playing with, you know, to know that all this stuff, it seems silly that we can't report this, you know, mm-hmm. given that basically any team could have had somebody that's a season ticket holder for the Ravens, claimed passes, you know, had sent one of their own scouts to basically come to this practice
right.
and report on it. But anyway, I understand why they don't really want to talk about it. You got to draw some kind of line that I think is a little more reasonable in terms of what we report on. But it's true. He's had a fair number of reps. He got a long talking to on Tuesday from Coach D. Lots of coaching. Seemed to be not happy about what was going on. Generally receiving a lot of coaching from Coach D is not a good thing anyway, because to me something's wrong in terms of footwork or arm or use of his arms and whatnot. I did ask Coach D when he was at the podium the last time, what did he think specifically about the footwork from Faalele and the use of his hands, and he said his footwork was not bad. Which that's still good to hear, even though Coach D has turned a lot of mediocre athletes into good pullers in his system. Okay, so he's very big on footwork and very good at teaching it. But what he said, he still really could not bring himself to complete a sentence that would be say anything positive about the usage of his hands. We're going to have to keep trying to improve that. That's something he needs to keep working on. You know, you get that sort of language while he's clearly trying to figure out how to say something positive about the act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. I've heard Harbaugh make the same dance around the question and say he's moving really well and not really probably a player that would benefit from some jiu-jitsu training or something like that. Mm-hmm. But any of the UDFAs, Julian Pearl, Dalcourt, Bullock, anyone standing out as a player that could be a practice squad contender?
Okay, so the guys that I like, either for practice squad or potentially for the end of the roster, I think Manning, Dalcourt, and Samak are the three that I think are competing for what may only be one roster spot, or it might be two. But Manning is a guy second year on the roster, probably has a lot more grown man strength that came out of Kentucky last year. Dalcourt is a guy they've been moving around a lot at various positions. That player ideally could be a backup center, and Dalcourt has had at least some experience there this camp. A lot of people have, by the way. A lot of people. Ben Cleveland's taken some snaps. Voorhees has had some snaps at center, and it's not a secret anymore because it was so many people, and we talked about it, you know, with Harbaugh in one practice. He said, you know, we need to try and get through a game if we need to, and you know, Dalcourt is potentially a guy who could help them there. I don't think Samak's position, as you know, given that he was a seventh round draft pick, I think he's 7 out of 6, right?
Yes.
Has got him any firm claim on a roster spot, and I think he missed practice today. I did not see him. I don't know if you heard it reported, but somebody like your co-managing editor,
Kyle. I just glanced at Kyle's observations right before we started recording, and I did not see his name listed as an absence. I do not believe, but maybe I overlooked it. I'm not sure.
Okay, and no, I could have missed it too, in terms of what was going on. But I write down at various times during practice who's on the line in each group, so I have an idea of relative point of entry, even though I can't really discuss it on the show to any great degree, but I have it available, and I didn't have 61 in there for any time. So that was, you know, one of those things. So anyway, maybe he was there and I just missed him. It's certainly possible. Or maybe he's playing a different position. Maybe because of the Cleveland, you know, headbanging thing that supposedly happened. So I think if we're to say that the guys who live fire is critical for, I think Saleh, the live fire might be about his last chance with the Ravens. He's got to look good in this preseason and earn a spot. He looked terrible in last year's preseason. Whatever playing time he's got, do the most with it. Try and get more and better playing time the next game, and try and make the end, frankly, of a 10-man offensive line that they may carry. Then Manning, I think, played very well in the preseason last year. Actually, very surprised he made it through the season on the Ravens roster, on the Ravens practice squad, that they might have had him taken. But he's a guy who I think can help his stock and either make another team or make the Ravens during the preseason. Voorhees, I actually think, is he's won the job, but I want to see he can do what he can do. And Rosengarten, you mentioned time with the ones. I won't deny that or confirm it, but he had some, he's had some mixed playing time where, he might've been out there when otherwise we've seen McCary a lot at that spot. I don't think he's necessarily going to start the season. And, he has certainly not been perfect in what I've seen as a pass blocker. So we'll see how that, that plays out. We've seen a lot of pressure from that edge, versus Rosengarten so far in this camp.
And apparently McCary came out either at the podium either today or yesterday and said he wants to start. He wants today. So he wants to start, and who doesn't want to start? You know, you don't want to be – it's from the team's perspective, it's great to have a swing utility, super utility man. But from a player's perspective, he wants to play. I can't blame him for that. So, all right, well, I think that's a pretty good rundown on the offensive line. We touched on the defensive line when we discussed Rashad Nichols at the top. So let's move on to inside backer. Apparently Malik Harrison had a big day today with two takeaways. Were they as – I don't know if you can disclose if you feel comfortable or not. Was he lining up as inside backer or outside backer on this place?
He has lined up at both in this camp. And his interception today, I'm sure it'll be reported all over, was dropping in coverage. So he was in a zone defense. There's nobody around him. The ball was underthrown. He slid in, made the interception. It was a nice play. So he's a guy who I think would is the Ravens' best hope for the backup Mike role right now, if I had to say. And the reason is that he's the only guy who really has the size for it. Simpson is not big enough. Evandy Rigby is big enough, but he's missed all of training camp basically so far. So I don't see him as the guy. So we'll see how this rolls out. Ross and Board, who are the other guys I think likely to make the roster, are both special teams slash will linebackers. They're they're not big enough to play that roster. I think Board actually may have had a chance to play a little bit of Mike in his Ravens career earlier, and in particular played some Mike on third down. They played that briefly with a dime back. I'm not saying that that won't happen. I'm just saying I'm not sure. I think it's more likely that they go to a two down Mike role that includes Harrison. Keep the will the same, except that Simpson might move to play Mike on third down, and they bring in a dime back, or
that
they
makes
just
a lot of sense. From personally, from what I've seen from Ross and Board over the years, of I personally prefer Ross, but again, there is some guaranteed a good bit of guaranteed money in Board's contract, so they probably lean that way if they have to.
I mean, there's room for both of them on the team, honestly, at this point, because Harrison really counts as an outside linebacker in some ways. So I mean, something tells me right now that they're going to make use of extensions of the roster for outside linebackers on this team this year.
Yes, for sure.
And it may happen an inside linebacker as well. You know, we don't know how the preseason is going to play out or even the rest of camp, but I think either is possible.
Sure. That makes total sense. Outside linebacker, I think we covered pretty well also at the top of the show. So we'll move on to cornerback, where we have a few players that are right on the bubble. Kadar Holman is a player who has gotten some positive reviews from a few of the pundits out there at practice that I've read while compiling the daily Ravens news for Baltimore Beatdown. Christian Matthew, on the other hand, seems that he is a very likely release candidate. And they, you know, have some injuries, as we mentioned, as well. So could open up some spots. But let's start there, and then I'll circle back.
So Kadar Holman is a guy who came out to Toledo 5 years ago. So he's been in the league for a long time, and he's hardly played during that time. He's been with Green Bay for a lot of it. And he actually has played for a couple other teams, I believe, as well. But a guy came out with 439 speed, very much like Quinyon Mitchell. And I will tell you, context matters for defensive backs in a big way. And they can make up for a lot of problems if they're playing against lesser competition. So we'll see if Quinyon Mitchell meets the standard. He's very highly thought of. And he made a first round draft pick this year, obviously. So he might be a guy who really works out. Kadar Holman, though, very, very similar comp for Mitchell. and a guy who still is probably pretty fast. I don't know what leg injuries he's had so far in his career that might have reduced his speed some, but I would say he's still pretty fast, but not at the blazing top end anymore. When he was drafted, he got blown by for a touchdown towards the end of practice yesterday. Day before yesterday. And so that was a downer for me. I think he's probably near the bottom of the depth chart, and it'd be interesting what the Ravens really believe in Kadar Holman, because he's even guaranteed money in his contract.
I do not believe so. The perspective that they're coming from is he's a core special teamer potentially. And we know that Coach Harbaugh emphasizes special teams, and perhaps with the new kickoff rule, that will be even more accentuated. I personally dislike reserving roster spots for special teams only players.
Right.
But it's a possibility. We've seen it before. That's why they signed Chris Board, right? For special teams only, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think they've done it with linebackers. And if you're going to do it, you got to be a 4-unit guy. You can't be a 3 or 2-unit guys. And some of the, like, Kadar Holman is probably not a punt coverage guy because he's not a gunner, for example. Mm-hmm. And he's, there wouldn't be anywhere else for him to play in the whole formation to easily cover punts. At least that's the way I would see it. You know, they want people are a little bit bigger. A lot of linebackers, a lot of safeties, personal protector is usually one of those two. It's atypical to have corners unless you've got a really physical corner who can be a gunner maybe and do that. And even then, I mean, those physical corners, they're usually too gifted as corners to play special teams at all.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to put, even though Jimmy Smith might have been able to do it, you wouldn't put him in there because it's too much of a risk.
Absolutely. So a couple other players on the roster. Pepe Williams, he seems to me to most likely be on the wrong side of the bubble with the sand coming out of the hourglass and just the surplus of options they have to play the nickel. On the other hand, Jalen Armour Davis has been identified by Jeff Zerebeck as one of the players who's boosted his stock the most over the last few weeks. And another player that could potentially be into the mix at slot is Bump Cooper, who seemed to have a couple highlight plays recently as well.
Yeah, so Cooper, I've liked in terms of what he's done, but again, he's a guy. He's not, the Ravens wouldn't be in any risk of losing him by having him be a, I'd say, a second guy on the practice squad at corner. And with all the players you lose at corner in a year, you need that second guy on the practice squad. So Cooper would be a very reasonable option for that. And Pepe might be a reasonable guy for the top guy on the practice squad. And then you maybe even make a decision on who you bring up based on, you know, whether it's an outside or inside corner you need. The Ravens are very stocked at inside corner right now. And Ardarius Washington, there's a long article from Ryan Minks. I'm not giving anything away about Ardarius Washington playing a lot of safety. That's, you know, still happening. And Ardarius Washington is a slot corner to me. He doesn't have the size to play safety. And the Ravens have 4 safeties that I think are ahead of them distinctly, including the big two, Eddie Jackson and Worley. So I really don't see him playing there. And it's not like he's been terrible or anything. He's been okay. I think he belongs at slot corner.
Certainly. I would agree there. Again, just not confident in his ability to tackle big receivers in the open field as the last man line of defense there.
Yep.
And then I guess we'll move on, transition into safety. Sanusi Kane apparently had a good day by Kyle Barber's reporting today. I think it's more likely than not that the Ravens are going to keep 5 safeties. So that would pretty much pit Kane against Bo Braid, as well as potentially Washington if the Ravens want to pretend that he is a safety.
And those are the 3 guys. And I don't think it matters whether you call Washington a corner, a safety, or a pineapple in terms of what position he plays. If he's the guy who's the last guy you want in your roster, he's going to play a little bit of special teams for you, but he's mostly going to be a defensive back. He can get you through a game maybe at safety. I can live with that, but I don't want him as a, I don't think he's the right guy to be a long-term split field safety. I just don't think that's the role for him. Sanusi Kane did have a big day-to-day pick and a PD. So, he certainly was good. I would say we have not seen a whole lot of signs of life prior to that from Sanusi Kane. I would also say if you had to pick players that have had more out of position instances in this training camp so far, that I would put Kane and maybe Braid in that category. And so you want guys, you know, on the half field role, you definitely want guys who can do that. I think Kane isn't a half field guy. I think he's a special teamer and dime back. And there he should be fine. I mean, the responsibility is much less. Some of the skills he has identifying routes from the back end are portable coming to the front end. Anthony Levine was just terrific at that in terms of really being able to bring those skills and do it. So anyway, I don't think the draft pick status of Kane, also just like Lusemak, is protecting him from being cut.
I completely agree there. We've seen it the last several years, Tyler Beatty. And who was the cornerback that was released last year that bounced around and never stuck anywhere?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Went to the Packers and some other teams. I didn't like him coming out of
– I can't remember his name.
Out of Stanford.
Caillou Blue Kelly.
Yeah, Caillou Blue Kelly.
Yes. So, you know, DaCosta has been less loyal to his draft picks than Ozzie Walsh, it seems, the last few years. And I think that's a good thing, you know, because we have so many and they're so good at finding UDFAs, and they have a deep team and they don't need to keep every single guy that they pick in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round just because they picked them. Let the best man win.
Yeah, absolutely. And it used to be in investing or in market terms, it's called being wedded to a position. Is when you when you draft somebody and you just have to get value out of them because you spent a fifth or sixth round draft pick on them. Well, look, that may be true, but circumstances have changed. And you know, if you're at a different point, you know, you shift. You don't become wedded.
Sure, but I think that pretty much wraps it up for now. Looking forward to the preseason game for sure next week. That's really the best opportunity, I believe, to evaluate trench play. Offensive linemen in particular, and outside linebacker, pass rushers. Let's see what they have there, because there still is a lot of unknown, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think there's, as every year, there's going to be a lot of very interesting things to learn out of this preseason. I'm going to try to have a show I do at some point during the next week to talk over what are the things to look for in the preseason. I'm sure we're going to hit on some of that on Friday morning GM as well, but I think it maybe deserves an expanded list at some point during the next week.
Sure.
Always a pleasure doing the show with you, Voss. Tell folks where they can find your work online.
Sure. BaltimoreBeatdown.com, Daily Ravens News. And you can chat me up, tag me in on Twitter at Vasilis Beatdown, V-A-S-I-L-I-S Beatdown. My pleasure as well, Ken. Always enjoy the show.
And thefiamata.com, right?
Yes, correct. That is our total handle for the new restaurant. Then we're doing heavy construction this week and looking for closing inspections shortly and hoping to open up middle of September and be a nice accommodation and flagship for the community. So I'll keep everyone posted there as well.
Okay, looking forward to that. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. One of the things Boss and I would really appreciate is if you can write us a short review. I say 50 words. Doesn't need to be 50 words. Just a sentence or two, you know, saying, you know, what you like about this show, and a 5-star review it goes a long way to driving traffic to this show. For Voss Larikos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.